Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
All right, here we go, Cofield and Company. Here on this Wednesday, Battleborn Broadcast Center, Alex White is alongside. She is the company. Cavalcade of stars coming in, including Justin Watkins. This is his place, the Battleborn Broadcast Center. Battleborn Injury Lawyers. We'll be talking a bunch of legal stuff again around college football as lawsuits continue to come down the pike. And now they're coming from areas that people did not expect. Everyone is mad at the NCAA, and it's more proof that what the NCAA has been doing for like 70 years, and especially of late, like the last 25, is highly illegal and absolutely anti-labor. And that includes up to the guys who make tens of millions of dollars, so much so that Nick Saban, I'm talking about coaches, Nick Saban, I think, just bought into the Nashville Predators. So it's quite the field. But even those guys are like, hey, the NCAA sometimes, man, my rights are being violated. Alex, what's going on?
Not much. A lot to get to today. Excited. The usual guest here on a Wednesday. So a little bit of everything. But yeah, and excited to hear from Justin with all those legal things.
I want to do a giveaway coming out of the gate here. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7. 364-1100. We got tickets to the Las Vegas Bowl. LVBowl.com is where you can get your tickets. But we've got a pair right now. It's Nebraska. It's Utah. Kyle Whittingham. This is it for him at Utah. I don't know if he'd be coaching beyond this. Who else did I see today where there were hints at the fact that the person is not done? Oh, that's right. LeBron James. We'll talk to Arash Markazi in about 15 minutes about that one. Arash had a good conversation with a NBA, we'll say, personality, former coach, about LeBron. So that's coming up. But right now, Las Vegas Bowl tickets. It's on New Year's Eve. During the day, you go to the game. You got plenty of time to go out afterwards. You can get your tickets at lvbowl.com. But right now, a pair of tickets. James will hook you up. 364-1100, 364-1100. We are headed towards a return of the Josh Pastner radio show at 6 o'clock. That'll be down at the Orleans at Bailiwick. So much to get into. Conference play begins this week against Fresno State. So we'll see what's going on in terms of the conference. I know what's going on. We'll see what Josh Pastner thinks of what's going on. And Matt Nevert, of course, is the host of that show. So football today, we had some bowl action. We got bowl action coming up. How much are you into the bowl games in terms of wagering? Do you just pick spots or do you try to play every day?
Oh, definitely just pick spots. I thought last week was a really good spot for Washington against Boise. Boise coming off that big win and winning the Mountain West. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be careful. It's really just about getting the information. And then you don't want to jump in too late. Like last night with Troy and Jacksonville State, everybody was betting that over, right? And low scoring game. So you want to be careful and you want to just follow the steam.
Okay. So how about today? So far we've got second quarter, Old Dominion against South Florida, 7-3. There's 11 minutes left in the half. Coming into this one, USF, you know, expected to be a pretty sizable favorite. Only 5.5. What was the pregame or what was the lead into this game in terms of who was playing, who wasn't playing? I worried about motivation because South Florida for so long was considered to be the favorite to get into the CFP. Then you look up and you're like, we're in a bowl game playing who? Old what? Who, Dominion? So far, Old Dominion has the lead, but were you worried about motivation?
Absolutely. And, of course, Alex Golish, their head coach, moving on, going to Auburn. So, I mean, that's another thing that you definitely have to look for. And Old Dominion was actually a surprise good team this year. I had said they were the second best in the Sun Belt after James Madison, and they just got left out of that championship because of the divisions. So really good run-first team, and we'll see if they can get it done. But their quarterback did opt out as well. So neither starting quarterbacks, Colton Joseph or Byron Brown, were playing in this one.
You know, I got a whole rant I want to go on. I'm going to do it in pieces. So make sure you listen on Saturday morning to Throw the Flag that we do at Treasure Island. Jeff Parles and I will be in. That's primarily a college football and now college basketball show from 9 to 11 on Saturday. I'm going to build on something that I saw last week. And it reminded me of this when I saw Old Dominion in this bowl game against South Florida. There's this growing group of jabronis. I have called them anti-American because they don't want to allow people to have opportunities. They don't want dreams to be lived out. College football is waged on the field with players of all different sizes and all different backgrounds. And sometimes the biggest guys aren't the best guys. And sometimes the smaller guys don't get opportunities at big schools, in large part because of one thing: measurables. So the linebacker, I'm just going to make it up here, right? The linebacker at ODU, who is 5'11 and 227, but isn't 6'3 and 242. Well, the 6'3, 242 guy might land at a place like Auburn, and the 5'11, 227 guy lands at Old Dominion. I saw a college football influencer, whatever he is, content creator, I think he's making his inroads on some sites, say last week that he was so pissed off about old James Madison and Tulane getting entry into this field that James Madison playing in this is literally a safety issue. This is just stupid. You're lying, or you're ignorant, or you're just trying to hot take. I'm really getting sick of the assumption that the big guys are automatically better than the little guys. And I mean literally size-wise, right? The DT at Old Dominion, as an example, who is 6'1 and 282, but not 6'3 and 305, he's smaller, but he might be mean as a rattlesnake. And a lot of times the big guys aren't mean. So this whole size thing, we see it play out in the NFL, you know? The greatest defensive tackle of our time, if you just put him based on measurables, great athlete. But Aaron Donald is not big. He's actually kind of smallish for a defensive tackle. But he was a mean mofo with great technique, great energy. That's where I'm going to leave it. That's where I'm going to leave it for now.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, thanks for joining the show. We'll bring in Arash Markazi now from the Sporting Tribune. Alex is here. It's Cofield. Arash, what's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for being patient. I wanted to get your take on what just went down with the NBA Cup and what you saw, and especially on the ground here in Vegas. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I thought the Thunder-Spurs game was one of the best games of this regular season. I thought the Cup Final was a good one. I do agree with the league of maybe just having the championship game at a neutral site. Unfortunately, it does look like they're looking outside of Vegas. I just think Vegas is like the best place to have quick turn events like this. But they're looking at other places. But anyways, I thought that they did a great job. As you know, there's so many New York transplants here. It definitely felt like a home game for the New York Knicks. So that was cool to see. But yeah, I had a great time.
What was the ticket situation and the crowd for the semis?
You know what? It was sold out for the Thunder Thunder Spurs game. A lot of that was because of the way that the Thunder are playing, a historic start to the season, and Victor Wembanyama. About half empty, I would say, for that Knicks Magic game, probably more so because of the Magic, but a very good crowd for the Cup Final. So listen, their dream final is Lakers Knicks. They got Victor Wembanyama in the Knicks. I think that's still pretty good.
So did I read it correctly? Could the alternative to Vegas, if they're going to move the NBA Cup, be a college town, a college basketball center?
Yeah, so it's important to note that this is a TV event. This is a TV production. I think a lot of people are looking at, oh, like, why would they move it to, like, Cameron Indoor Stadium or something like that? Well, because this is made for TV. And so that would look very cool. I don't think if you're doing that, you're really maximizing 20,000 seats. You're not maximizing the number of media you could potentially get. But I think that they're going to try a bunch of things. Again, this is still a work in progress. Again, I think that the Knicks made some headlines when they said, we're not hanging up a championship banner for the NBA Cup, which is fine. And I agree with that. I think that's what the Lakers should do. But I think that the league is still trying to figure out what this event looks like.
What was the messaging, the latest messaging from Adam Silver on expansion?
Listen, we had taken a big step back in terms of expansion talk at the NBA Summer League. I really think that we took a big step forward before the NBA Cup Final, where he basically said that they are looking at Vegas, that next year, at some point in 2026, there will be some announcement. They realize that they have strung along Las Vegas and Seattle, and they don't want that to continue. So if they're going to expand, they will announce something in 26. If not, I think that they will kind of say, hey, listen, we're not going to expand for the foreseeable future.
Did Adam Silver address the Clippers and Chris Paul situation?
He mentioned about Chris Paul, didn't really bring up the investigation or anything in terms of the Clippers. And by the way, I think a lot of that is because of how poorly the Clippers are playing. You know, they're one of the three worst teams in the league. I think that Kawhi contract is one of the worst contracts in the league. So this idea that they would penalize them any more than they've already been penalized is probably not going to happen. So, yeah, listen, I mean, the Chris Paul thing was unfortunate. It's just one of those things where Silver agrees with a lot of people out there that we would love to see Chris finish out his career somewhere else.
Did you talk to Arash Markazi with us here on ESPN Las Vegas from the Sporting Tribune? Did you talk to Blake Griffin about the Clippers and CP3?
I did. I had a chance to catch up with Blake again. He is part of the Amazon Prime team. So just kind of talked to him about, you know, being a part of that Clippers run, with Chris Paul and Lob City. Chris Paul obviously posted a FaceTime he was having with Blake and DeAndre Jordan. So, I mean, obviously he's very upset about the way things turned out for Chris. He's no stranger to that. 7 months after he signed on, to kind of finish his career with the Clippers, the Clippers traded him to Detroit. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's one of those things that the Clippers have worked so hard to change around the perception of the franchise, and it really seems with this Chris Paul move, I don't want to say that they're back to where they were, but certainly in terms of their perception around the league, they are very much back to where they were previous to this run.
Did another broadcaster, Stan Van Gundy, have something to say that I think is kind of breaking on LeBron James, saying that maybe LeBron isn't done after this year with the Lakers?
Yeah, I think his thought process there is when you look at the way LeBron's playing, he can certainly continue playing. My thing with LeBron has always been, I do think he wants a retirement tour, and here we are almost at the end of December, and he has not announced that this is the end of the run for him. So unless that announcement comes at the All-Star break, I do think LeBron does want to come back. I do think he wants a proper send-off where he'll make the announcement that this year is my last year and he'll get a send-off in Cleveland and a send-off in Miami. By the way, that may still come. He may make that announcement at some point this year, but he is not yet.
Arash is with us. Arash, are the juices starting to flow in L.A. with the NFL and these teams, you know, near the top of the heap? The Chargers, probably a longer shot to make the Super Bowl. The Rams certainly are the favorite, and we arguably have the biggest Thursday night football game in history based on the records with two 11-win teams coming up and so much on the line.
Yeah, I mean, this is very much a Rams town now, and I think if the Rams make another Super Bowl run, it's a transient town, though. At the end of the day, this is a transient town. This is a town that's full of Cowboy fans and Packers fans and Steelers fans and Raiders fans. You go down the list. So, I think a lot of people still look at those crowds and say, oh, where are all the fans for the Rams? I promise you, if the Rams continue this run and the kid who grew up, the kid who was born in, let's just say 2012, and he grew up with the Rams going to three Super Bowls and winning two. That generation are Rams fans. You cannot take a team and move them to St. Louis, and we didn't have the NFL here for 21 years. We don't have a passionate fan base because we didn't have a team here. I do think the next generation of fans are Rams fans. You're going to have a generation of fans that are Lakers fans, Dodgers fans, Rams fans, Kings hockey fans. So that day will come.
Arash Markazi with us on the Sporting Tribune. Arash, I appreciate you dealing with some tech issues because I can see you're getting a little echo. Last couple of questions here. Are the Rams, maybe they've been doing it for a while, they starting to do in-stadium entertainment during the games? Is that the, how do you say her name? Is it Tinashe?
Tinashe, yeah. Tinashe. Rams are not like the Raiders. The Raiders are sort of next level with the performers that they bring. But yeah, this is Hollywood, so they got Tinashe out there. They have some other performers singing the national anthem, halftime acts, things of that nature. You know, listen, I think when the product on the field is as good as the Rams have been, you don't necessarily have to do that, but it is nice to see.
Christmas Day, three games. One of them is Lions-Vikings. There is a pregame lead-in with a musician. There's a halftime act. We're getting everyone's vote on this one. Alex is going to have to vote in a little bit. Are you more into Kelly Clarkson in the pregame or the halftime with Snoop?
Oh, Snoop. Yeah, you got to go Snoop. Snoop is, I mean, listen, Snoop. I'm not going to go Kelly Clarkson over Snoop Dogg. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I am. Are you more interested in the NBA? You're a big NBA guy. You're more interested in the NBA on Christmas with its traditional five-game slate or the NFL, which has three games, but frankly, because of things that have gone wrong with quarterbacks on the other side, all three games are kind of there's something on the line, but not for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, I am definitely more of the NBA. The NBA season, in my mind, no disrespect to the NBA Cup, it begins on Christmas Day. So it's in, thankfully, the Lakers have always been either very good or they had a superstar and they've played on Christmas Day. So I will always say Christmas Day belongs to the NBA. I know the NFL is trying to take that as well. But give me the Lakers and the Rockets on Christmas Day.
Let's finish up with some baseball. We have a 2 o'clock deadline on Monday. We know that the Dodgers have cornered the market on all the great Japanese players. This Murakami guy, what do you think? Are the Dodgers going to wait for someone else to set the market? They're going to be involved, right? I would have to think they're going to make some kind of bid on him.
Yeah, listen, the Dodgers will be involved, but they will only be involved in terms of like what makes the most sense for them. They have Max Muncy playing first base. They have an amazing farm system. I think Murakami makes the most sense of the perspective players out there from Japan. Again, he is very close with Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani. So we'll see to what level they will recruit him. But if he's available at the right price, the Dodgers do make sense there.
If Murakami comes here, I saw you put up a picture of the Japanese egg sandwich that you fell in love with in Tokyo. Is there somewhere in L.A.? Where did you I don't think you said where that egg sandwich was at in the U.S.
It said 7-Eleven. So if you go, yeah! They might be available in Vegas. So, like, I think all 7-Elevens realize. By the way, these 7-Elevens in Tokyo and in Japan, they have those egg salad sandwiches, and it's really
egg
good.
Egg salad, yeah.
It's the crust. The issue here with the egg salad sandwich at the 7-Elevens in the United States is the crust. You have to remove the crust. If you remove the crust, it's pretty darn close. So they have done a really good job.
I know you were pretty spoiled growing up. Did your mom remove the crust?
No. The crust was fine,
exactly.
But what makes the Japanese egg salad sandwich so great is the crust is removed, and it's a fluffy white bread and a creamy egg salad. You need that combination.
Arash, you're the man. I appreciate you being so patient. Sorry about the tech issues, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, see you. Take care.
There he is, Arash Markazi. I'm not an egg salad person, but maybe this Japanese egg salad version would win me over.
Oh, I'm definitely an egg salad person.
You are?
Yeah. But I like it plain. I don't need any celery or onions or anything in there.
Oh, look at you get all demanded. Look at you were like, so no celery and onions. You got a little.
That random crunch in there is not necessary.
You don't need it.
No.
Okay. Well, the next time you do a Friday or throw the flag on a Saturday, there are people at the station who rave about the egg salad sandwich. It's not Japanese style, but down at TI at Golden Circle Sports Bar. So
I might have to try it. Yeah.
Have you followed this Murakami thing at all? There's actually two Japanese power hitters who are coming over, and Murakami is like expected to be the next big import. We know the Dodgers have already kind of cornered the market on the Japanese players. You know my rant on this, which is the rest of baseball cannot allow the Dodgers to get another one of these guys.
Oh, I agree.
So
completely.
Who's going to step up? Because there is a deadline coming up to at least get in on the bids coming up on Monday.
Let's go Blue Jays.
I mean, they had the money to push Ohtani.
Yeah.
To the brink with the Dodgers. I like that the Blue Jays are, spending money. They've always been a big money club. They're mega rich. Hell, I like that the Orioles got real involved and F the Mets. Mets want to be all cheap and jerk around with P. Alonso. Like, did they really think they were going to do what they did last year where they strung it along and then got him on a 1-year deal? Like, there was going to be offers for a guy who's first in home runs since 2019 and third in RBI. He's a really good player, and he's a great clubhouse guy.
Definitely. I mean, I think that is a loss to their clubhouse. So, yeah, I like the Baltimore stepped up, too.
Coming up, let's get to the NFL, as there's been a big change at the quarterback position. It hasn't happened here yet, which I think it does need to happen. But down in Miami, they are completely upsetting the apple cart.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on Cofield and Company. A lot of NFL to get to. Well, the big news today, Alex White, is the fact that the Dolphins are going to make a change. I don't blame them. Tua is playing horribly. More importantly, there's just no sense in winning games from here moving forward. They're going to have to come up with a Tua solution, though.
Definitely.
They are like several clubs. We tried to tell them, just because you have the, at his best, the ninth best quarterback in the league, at his best, when things are going well, but he may also be the 17th best quarterback, just because his turn is up. Kind of like Trevor Lawrence. Now, Lawrence is on a winning team, and maybe he's going to be able to make this deal worthwhile. Brock Purdy is in the proving zone right now. He's had a good season since he's come back. But the Dolphins have a real situation here with a guy making $45-plus million, and there's no sense in winning. So now they're going to turn to seventh-round pick, former number one quarterback in the country coming out of high school, Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, I think the big thing is seeing that quote that Mike McDaniel actually said. I think Quinn gives this team the best chance to win, when we all know that is not true. But it'll be interesting. I don't know what happened to the Dolphins Monday night. I guess they were kind of just on a roll, won four in a row, and then just ran out of gas, right? And, I mean, it's pretty impressive what they did for 4 weeks, right, without Tyreek Hill. And, but you can tell that he was such a security blanket for Tua. And I don't know if he's going
to
have that.
People tried to warn the Dolphins. And I'll tell you what, I was higher on Tua than others. And Miles Simmons is coming in later on. Make sure if I don't bring it up to him, you bring it up that he murdered me. He gashed me in the past when I would talk about upside with Tua and how good the offense was with Tua.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of it was dink and dunk, catch and run. And once Tyreek went out, they just weren't as good. You know, it's funny. I saw a national host. It was actually JT the Brick, who said something to the effect of, and I'll go back and read the quote, that he was surprised that the Dolphins were turning away from Tua after he had led them back into having a decent season. And when I read that, I'm like, I don't know that he led them to anything. I think the run game led them.
I would agree with that. Definitely.
Right? That's when they started winning, when they changed the philosophy. It's like, we cannot be a, whatever, you know, 55% of the team of time passing team. We've got to run, and their running back's awesome.
Yeah, Achane is like fourth, I think, in the league right now. And the names he's behind are, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, all of those guys. So he's been amazing and definitely led that offense.
So what are they going to do? Long range.
Oh, James Cook. I forgot about him. And I have no idea.
Right?
So is that a sign that they are keeping Mike McDaniel?
I will counter your I have no idea with my own no idea. Well, they kept him in the first place, right? Greer was the one who went. So they must hold him in some high regard. I would guess that as long as they play hard and maybe there's a little bit of progress, you can't expect wins with Quinn Ewers out there. Who knows? Maybe for Stevie Ross, he just wants to have a coach who this time around, when they're trying to tank down the stretch, will cooperate. Because the last time, Brian Flores is like, yeah, I'm not really interested, and I'm going to snitch on you.
Right.
So that's not a reason to keep a guy, because Mike McDaniel is a company dude. But today, to me, he was a company dude when he said, Quinn Ewers gives us a better chance. Hey, you know what? Maybe. And maybe that is the reason that Chris Greer is gone. My guess is that Mike McDaniel, when they went to sign Tua to the mega deal for $45-plus million a year, that McDaniel's like, don't do it! Don't do it! This is a terrible move! I'm sure he was on board. He's like, yeah, he's the franchise. Let's keep him. So McDaniel's got to share a little bit of the blame. I'm sure he liked Tua. But right now, it ain't working.
Oh, I thought they were buddies. I thought they like went hand in hand. Yeah, for sure. So I don't know.
I think Quinn gives this team the best chance to win. Okie dokes. I think you're fibbing.
Yeah, and then why am I blanking on his name? Who's going to be the backup from the Jets? Yes, Zach Wilson is going to be his backup. So they're not even turning to him.
That is a great point. Is that Zach Wilson, I think, for some people, is held in decent regard. He was brought in to be the number two. So this is clearly a sign that they're doing what you should do, which we'll get into the Raiders later on. The Raiders really do need to empty out the quarterback room and go to the bottom of the barrel. By the way, JT the Brick wrote, Mike McDaniel has balls benching Tua after his quarterback led the team back from the dead to make it somewhat of a competitive season. As we said earlier, I don't believe it was Tua leading him back. It was a running game. So maybe Tua was proficient at, you know, play fakes and play action.
Yeah.
But
okay,
he's just not playing well right now. And if you want to give him credit for leading them back to a decent level, that's okay. But he was horrible on Monday. And I'm not a knee-jerk, like, pull the quarterback after one game. He's had a lot of bad games. He's regressed badly.
That's not
working.
That's not even like a vintage Steelers defense either. But they do have to see what they have with Quinn Ewers, right? I mean, he was at the top of the leaderboard in regards to where quarterbacks were going to be drafted and then dropped drastically. I mean, he was pretty good in Texas. Got to see what they have with him, right?
Oh, he's worth a look.
Yeah.
He just probably wouldn't be my first look if I'm trying to win some games, which I don't think that's the goal, which, frankly, the Raiders should play hard, and their young players should play hard because they're playing for jobs. Their veterans should play hard because you're playing for jobs as well, unless you have a long-term deal. Geno Smith was a full participant today in practice. Is this really going to happen?
I would not be surprised.
I know people hate tanking, but the Raiders have blown this in multiple years. It worked out with Brock Bowers. They picked the right guy. I mean, would I rather have a franchise quarterback had they remained in the top seven? Yes. I don't get why would Geno Smith be back on the field for the Raiders?
I don't know, because, I mean, there's only three more games and they are in a good position right now. They actually need to lose to the Giants and need the Giants to win again, right? So
I'm not playing Geno Smith. I'm sorry. And I have to wonder what's going on in the organization right now, if people are pulling their hair out or they're all cool with this. Because we've talked about the theme of late, and really it goes to the middle and maybe even the beginning of the season, is what were Pete's goals and what were the organization goals? What are John Spytek's goals and what are Pete's goals? What are Tom Brady's goals? Ooh, is he actually making decisions or not? We still don't know. What was the goal of the organization this year? I mean, early on, it was to win. Once it got to a point where you're like, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs. The Raiders aren't going to make the playoffs. There had to be a different focus. And then the crazy thing is, as Jesse Merrick pointed out from Silver and Black Sports Network on Monday, some of the rookies they've played have looked more than capable. Like, the O-line was below average for much of the season. Why was Caleb Rogers not playing earlier? You see what I'm getting at, right? It seems like there is some confusion on the direction of the franchise and what the rest of the year from the middle of the season on should have been about.
Right. So you're saying they did see that at practice from these young guys, but kind of them out?
I have no idea.
Okay.
In the end, confusing. I mean, it's Pete Carroll. If he wants to win, he doesn't trust. If he trusts veterans more than the rookies, and there are a lot of coaches like that.
Definitely.
Here's the other thing. It's on the organization to tell Pete, you can play the young guys. You are still going to be around. But my guess is behind the scenes are like, I don't know if we want him around anymore. So they probably couldn't tell him that. So then he's of the opinion like, hey, man, maybe if I get the 7 wins, I can keep my job. So he's playing for one goal. At the midpoint of the season, the organization, some people in the organization could be playing for other goals. And then you got this mismatch alignment. and young guys aren't getting in soon enough, and now Geno Smith may be back on the field if he can stay healthy for the final 3 weeks of the season. I'll take more Kenny Pickett. We've already seen AOC plenty. I would go to the practice squad and start quarterbacks there. There's no shame in it because clearly that's what the Dolphins are doing here.
Right. Well, geez. So they have the Texans. I'm sorry, then the Giants. So I don't know. I mean, you don't want to get Geno hurt out there too. And the Texans are a top defense, but are they trying? I don't know. I'm thinking after this week, then they'd be like, okay, we're going to see what we have with Kenny Pickett for the next two games. But
two teams were shut out this last week, Raiders and the Bengals. What do the numbers say following week?
The numbers say, so according to Action Network, since 2015, teams that were shut out in the previous game are 35-17-3 against the spread, including 5-0 against the spread this season, something we've kind of been tracking at a South Point studio. So the Raiders are catching 14 against Houston. And the Bengals now, with the news with Tua, too, they went from kind of flipped. Dolphins were a one-point favorite that flipped after the loss to Bengals won, and now Bengals are a four-point favorite. So what do we do here?
I'm laying the points again. I'm probably going to lay the points against the Raiders in the contest that I'm in. Now, I don't know what I'm doing. That was actually the only game I won last week.
Eagles.
Out of five picks was Eagles laying the points.
And I left that off of my Circ Invitational, and I really wanted to, too.
I was awful. I actually should look up the card I put in. It was not good. By the way, I was legitimately devastated today because I don't follow it day by day. But I do check the Circa Invitational standings. And you are a representative of yourself first and foremost because you are a grand champion multiple times in last man, last woman standing contest. You're consistently the only female in the field of the Circa Invitational. You better be back next year. 2 weeks ago, you had a 5-2 week. You were like 2.5 games out of third place.
I know
what
it.
What happened?
I don't know. Even last week, I had another 5-2, and then 2-5 this past week.
Jeez, all the way out.
I know. And then the rest of the field did pretty good. It's tough because in these type of contests, I mean, I should have just taken the low-hanging fruit, right? But you don't want to look like a square. You don't want to go over in the Rams and the Lions game. So you try and go with, you know, some dogs that have a chance or go different angles, but definitely
okay, be honest. Who do you think is a square who's made out?
name
another contestant where you're like, they're square, and every week you're like, damn it, they keep winning.
Yes.
There's a couple squares in there, aren't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way more than I even anticipated since I've been doing this the last 2 years.
It often works with the way the NFL is right now, and especially at the end of the season when you look up and there's no way. And I'm not a big bettor, but over the last 20 years, I'm looking at 12 to 14 point favorites, and I'm like, yeah, let me lay the points. But like in recent times, because of Quinn Ewers like situations, like you almost overthink it.
Absolutely.
Like, why is this line so low? Like this tells me that the Dolphins, like, what's the Dolphins' attitude going to be? What's Quinn Ewers going to do? This should be an easy victory on the other side. No, I can't lay the points. And then blowout Central.
Five double-digit favorites last week, and four of them covered. And it was
now
Eagles,
you know.
Niners, yeah.
Now you know. But the good news is the White family's not out.
That's true.
Kenny White, is Kenny in like sixth?
I'm pretty impressed with him because I kind of thought I was seeing the college board more, but he's been leaning on his totals, and so he's been on a run.
What, totals in what, college or pro?
Mostly college.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
His totals have been very
so
good.
What's he going to do now?
Me bowl opposite games? Sides only. Yeah.
He's going to keep going with the bowl game totals.
Bowl games. Hello. Probably. Yeah, probably these. He'll probably, I would imagine he'd use all four of this first round.
Good
for
him,
the
man.
CFP.
Really, yeah. Good. Congrats to Kenny, who's still, what is there, like 9 people left or 8 left?
I think there is 11, actually.
God, I can't believe you're out.
I know.
So
top 10 is guaranteed in next year, too. So I just needed one more week. But
oh, top 10 is guaranteed an invite back?
Yes.
Oh, we'll be beating the drum hard. They don't listen to us down there. The humans doesn't care. He's going to do what he wants. But come on. It's a good performance again this year. 4 o'clock hours on the way. Our real expert, Justin Watkins, is coming up.